We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Anyway, I just picked the name out of the blue and already got myself into a trouble. All right, 9 minutes after two. Hey, how many of you have had a chance to see the air show rehearsal? The air show rehearsal. I think I heard it. In fact, I know I heard it because I was talking to somebody who was on a cell phone walking around the West Side, and they said, "Listen," and I heard, you know, the jet sound. It was thundering. It was clamorous. It was vibrational. And it was sounded pretty awesome. I didn't see it, but I heard it. And I think it was a Blue Angel. So anyway, if you had a chance to see the rehearsal, good for you. Good for you. I'm jealous like you wouldn't believe. I think planes are some of the coolest things we've ever invented as a species. And I'll tell you what, if you grabbed any good pictures of the rehearsal, you may send them to me, tom@wben.com. tom@wben.com. Just do me a favor so my mailbox doesn't get too flooded. Just pick out like the best single picture you have. Because sometimes what happens is people send me like a zillion pictures. They'll download their entire camera, and that's not good because I can't look at all those things. So if you got a picture, send it to me, tom@wben.com. I'd like to see it. Now, coming up later on today, we're going to have full coverage of the Nick Wallenda thing. Mike Baggerman, Brendan Keeney, and I, and you can watch it along on WBEN.com. Our website will have video of Nick Wallenda, and we'll look forward to that very, very much. Okay, so along the way here in pandemic land, I have been trying to, I don't want to say be an activist because then I'd have to buy Birkenstocks and a Subaru and stuff, and I'm just not into that right now. So I've been trying to bring to people's attention the situation regarding COVID with special needs individuals. Now, we had a call late yesterday from a guy connected with, I think, an adult facility, and one of the big problems is they're having a hard time finding people to work. Now, this is a ubiquitous problem across America. You can't find people who want to work because the way the system's working right now, it makes more financial sense for people to sit at home than it does to actually work. And the ripple effect in the economy is it's disruptive to the supply chain. It is also eventually, you know, inflation does not occur in a vacuum. And who do you think is going to pay the extra wages the business owners are having to lay out so they can produce a product, whether it's a cheeseburger or whether it's a steel girder? Well, you will, ultimately. The consumer, we've already got inflation through the roof. Some products are absolutely absurd. Chicken wings have gone up, I think, over 100% by the case. And, you know, it's tough. But anyway, that was the situation yesterday with one of the people who is involved in adult rehabilitation because they pay $12.50 an hour. And basically everything that's gross about the human body is what you have to deal with for $12.50 an hour. Given the choice between that and popping things in a fryer, most of us would go with popping things in a fryer. I must confess, I'm sure I would. But let's go right now to Miss, excuse me, Mrs. X. Mrs. X is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now, you might remember Mrs. X because she is the woman who has a daughter with a young daughter with very severe disabilities. And during the pandemic, they were trying to give her therapy over the computer. Yes, therapy over the computer. And then, despite the fact that Mrs. X was vaccinated and her various rehabbers were vaccinated, they were prohibited from in-home visits. When the therapist came to the home, it had to be outside. Even if it was a rainy, chilly day, it had to be outside. And if the weather didn't cooperate, the people of Erie County government and New York State government, in their infinite stupidity, which abounds in the Empire State, they said, oh, well, if you want to be inside, you can go to a public building we've designated as a site for therapy, leading to the obvious question, golly, parents, do you have more faith in the cleanliness of your own home or in a building that God knows what happened there the hour before you arrived? I think they actually should sell Luminol to the general public so we can have fun at hotel rooms, and then we'll never want to go anywhere again. Anyway, joining us right now is Mrs. X. Mrs. X, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, I'm very well. I tried to synopsize the situation of which we have spoken in past programs, and I'm kind of curious, with New York State supposedly opening up just in time for Cuomo's daughter's wedding, which I'm sure is an absolute coincidence, how has this affected you and your daughter?
So, in general, nothing has changed. Since public rates are lower than 50 per 100,000, therapists are allowed in homes with masks. However, if the numbers go back up, then we go right back to the way it was before, which is outside, on Zoom, in public places. I actually ended up getting a lawyer, and we threatened to sue the county because, I mean, it was just getting ridiculous, because when you have a daughter with cerebral palsy and a seizure disorder, trying to get her, you know, like, I'm not a physical therapist, I'm not an occupational therapist, I didn't go to school for anything like that, and trying to, you know, stretch her the way she needs to be stretched because she's very tight and other various things. She was regressing, me trying to do it myself, even though I did the best that I could. And so my lawyer called and met with, you know, the Mary Martin, the director of the Department of Special Needs in the Erie County Health Department, and their lawyer, and apparently, according to Miss Mary Martin, I'm just a picky parent.
Wait, you are a picky parent because were any specifics offered as to why a parent wanting the best for her severely disabled daughter is picky? I mean, I thought her job was to be an advocate for children with disabilities, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah, that makes two of us. I thought she was supposed to be an advocate. I thought that she was supposed to fight to try to do everything she could to get services for children in the house. And this even goes, I mean, like, Niagara County, it's never stopped in Niagara County. Once they opened everything back up, like, a long time ago, Wyoming County, Genesee County, Cattaraugus County, it's only in Erie County. And even when they stopped the meeting, they still had to go back and they still wanted things from her doctors that all said that she's not benefiting from Zoom therapy and that it's imperative that she has her therapy in person.
Well, okay, I mean, I'm sorry, but I hate to apply science to what we're told we need to follow the science on, but if your daughter has a seizure disorder, in what world does it make sense to have her staring at a computer screen, which have been known, along with bright TV shows, to cause photosensitive epileptic seizures in kids?
Yeah.
What am I missing here?
I'm not sure, but even we had to go to actual children's hospital because we had to do another seizure study. And when I was there, I was sending Mary Martin pictures of my daughter hooked up to seizure monitors, you know, saying, you know, like, that it's not good for her, and, you know, this is where we are, what can we do to get her therapy at home? And again, all I would just get is copy and paste generic answers from her. And even when I would state things like, you know, if I'm vaccinated or therapists are vaccinated, how is it, and you're telling me that the public rates are so high, how is it safer for me to bring my child into a public place?
Okay, how far, I mean, you had to go to the expense of hiring an attorney. How far was that attorney able to advance your interests and your daughter's interests?
At the end of the day, we didn't end up having to go to court, but we never would have gotten her therapy. So now what they said is without restrictions, no matter what happens from this point forward, my daughter is allowed to have her therapy in the house.
And does the therapist who...
The other child.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted. Go ahead. I talk fast sometimes.
Oh, no, sorry. But that's only my daughter. So now, for my daughter, from this point forward, no matter what happens with public numbers, we're allowed to do it in my house without restrictions. So even if the numbers go high, we don't have to do it on the front lawn. In the rain, we don't have to do it in the front lawn. We don't have to go to a library. We don't have to go to a community center. But that's only my daughter. That's not every other child with disabilities. They still have to go through this if the numbers get high again.
Okay, this strikes me. I mean, okay, you had the ability to hire an attorney. So your daughter is getting the therapy now that she needs, basically after saying, hey, we're going to take this thing to court. But I'm presuming there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other parents listening to this show who have children with severe disabilities who are saying, well, wait a minute, what about me? I mean, if somebody is very, very low income, can't afford an attorney, what do they do?
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I mean, I got to a point where I was about to, like, I couldn't personally have not have afforded going to court. So I would have started a GoFundMe page. I would have tried to get as many people as I could to go in on it with me. I would have started a GoFundMe page. I think that they're not basing anything on science. So I think that them going back and looking at how they're treating these children, they're able to say, okay, let's take a step back because we are violating this child's civil rights.
We're talking with Mrs. X. Now, Mrs. X has been on this program before, and she has a daughter with severe disabilities. And I'm finding this very interesting because Mrs. X retained a lawyer. The lawyer met with the people who run the county program as well as an attorney for the county. And as a result of that meeting, Mrs. X's daughter is allowed to receive therapy the way she used to get it. But if you are a parent of a kid who is used to getting the rehab and the occupational therapy and the physical therapy and all the other therapies that there are, and you don't have a lawyer, I mean, to me, this seems really unfair and not scientifically based. And if you do have a question for Mrs. X, I will keep her for a few minutes. She's got a lot of errands she's got to run, so I'm really happy that we're able to catch up with her. She's a very busy working mother. And by the way, she also... I want to be very careful how I phrase this. She does a lot for the community herself. Mrs. X is very involved in a lot of very worthwhile fundraisers for other organizations, which I shall not name, nor shall I name how, but you're going to have to take my word for it. Mrs. X, I know her. 803-0930 is the phone number. *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Mrs. X, I am very concerned and have been all along with regression. And you talked about your daughter basically losing a lot of the gains she'd been making thanks to the therapy. What are the doctors and the therapists saying about making up for lost time and about overcoming the regression?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is especially at this young of an age, she's in a program called Early Intervention, which helps children from birth to age like 3. Then they start going through the school district. So I might have to start this over again once she's of school age. She turns 3 at the end of the year. So I might have to go through this all over again. But early intervention is imperative that these kids learn early. And my daughter there's some disabilities, you know, like autism, where kids need the repetition. They have to really get to know the person. Now, some of these kids haven't seen their therapist for a year. They have to rebuild those relationships again, you know, and it's really tough because it takes a long time for these children to, in general, like even my daughter, to to build a relationship where, like, she makes, they'll make her, like, move a certain way she doesn't want to move. They stretch her a certain way she doesn't, you know, it's hard for her to stretch a certain way. She can't move like other kids can. Like, we take for granted being able to raise our arm and just use our hand. She can't do that. So when therapists do that, you know, you have to have a special relationship. You can't just walk up to a child and just start, like, you know, pulling their arms and opening up their hands and moving their legs. So all these things are imperative. So it's not even just, you know, regression. They have to know these therapists. And when it's quickly over a phone for Zoom, and when they don't even understand going on a phone, you know, or looking through a tablet, they don't understand these things. They don't understand that person is talking to them. There's so much then they have to build that back up, that relationship back up, so that then they're able to start even going back to trying to learn how to walk, trying to learn how to talk, little things that we take for granted.
Yeah, you are breaking my heart here. Mrs. X is with us, and she will be happy to talk to you. And I'm happy to hear from parents who are going through similar circumstances and situations. Coming up at 3 o'clock, full Nick Wallenda coverage. And the WBEN summer stimulus word this hour is verse, like the verse of a song. V as in Victor, E-R-S-E, verse. So text it to 72-881-72881. Or a Bible verse, whatever. It's the same spelling. Let's go to John, Grand Island. John, you're on with Mrs. X. You've got a story.
Hey, Tom. Thank you so much. Yes, no, I don't have a major story, but I have a question about the American Disabilities Act. How does this all play into the American Disabilities Act? I have a son who's autistic down in Jamestown at a group home down there. And how does all this play into the American Disabilities Act if they're not maintaining things correctly for our children?
That's a really interesting question. Mrs. X, did your lawyer, is there anything in the Americans with Disabilities Act which would be applicable in situations like this?
Honestly, I have no idea. I mean, I'm so new to this. My daughter was just, you know, like one when the pandemic hit, and I was so ignorant to a lot of things, and, you know, just trying to survive the last year, I really have no idea, but it's definitely something we should look into. But I do know that this is not based in science. This cannot be legal. And I think that's why they folded with me, and I think they'll do it with other parents.
All right, threatening lawsuits. John, I'm sorry we don't have the information. Mrs. X is many things, but she's not an attorney.
Okay, so I just want to say, we're spending so much time on opening up the border for Canada, and Schumer is not even caring about things like this. And this is what is like really interrupts our whole society. Of, we don't pay attention to our children that have disabilities as much as we should do.
Schumer, of course, he's a very caring individual. After all, he is a Democrat, and you know, we're evil WBEN, and I think we've done more shows on getting kids with severe disabilities therapy during the pandemic than any other station or any other politician. So you can judge as you will. I wish you and your son in Jamestown the best, John.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to hold on to Mrs. X a little bit because, you know, look, we all have bad days. Every now and again, I have one. Pasquale never has a bad day. He's like the Rock of Gibraltar, Pasquale Maggiore in the next room. But when we come back, Mrs. X is going to talk to us about all of the therapies her daughter needs. And one of the takeaways from this part of the program, if you have a kid who had been receiving therapies from Erie County, and you have been told that, well, nothing's going to change, even though everything has changed, nothing's going to change with your disabled child, it seems like the best thing to do is to say, look, I'm ready to take you to court. My kid needs therapy. Now, maybe you can do that on your own. Maybe you can retain a lawyer. Maybe if there are enough of you, you band together and you become a class of aggrieved people. And it's really interesting. This is coming from Erie County because my understanding is some of the Erie County public buildings would never pass muster with the Erie County Department of Health. Oh! So, yeah, that's the song I used as the musical bump the day Nick Melinda walked over Niagara Falls on the tightrope. I remember that day as if it was yesterday, which is very unusual because there are so many blank spots in my memory, I wouldn't even know where to begin. But I guess that was just an extraordinary day, and we will have live coverage of Nick Melinda's walk at Duville. During the 3 o'clock hour at News Radio 930 WBEN. So that'll be fun. And also, if you had a chance to see the air show rehearsals, I am so jealous of you. I am so jealous. Mrs. Nerd had a chance to see some of the rehearsal. There she was, walking around the west side, looking for her drug. I mean, she was walking along the west side with her family where they used to live. And overhead, oh, I'm so jealous. I'm so envious. All right. Sorry. Enough of that. The 2 o'clock summer stimulus word is verse. V as in Victor, E-R-S-E, as in Bible verse. 72881. My favorite Bible verse? I was thinking about this yesterday. Quod est veritas. That's not the whole verse, but it's what Jesus said to Pontius Pilate. What is truth? When he was being interrogated by the Roman head of... Oh, never mind. All right, let's get back to Mrs. X on News Radio 930 WBEN. We are talking about the troubles and travails of trying to get therapy for severely disabled children during the pandemic. And Mrs. X, for those who may have forgotten our previous conversations, can you run through all of the therapies your daughter has to receive each and every week?
Yeah, so she has physical therapy twice a week, she has occupational therapy twice a week, she has speech therapy twice a week, she has special ed twice a week. We canceled vision therapy because that was over Zoom and that was just a little crazy. And then we also canceled her aquatic therapy because the restrictions were so tight letting people in. And my aunt had a pool who would let us, you know, do her therapy in the pool. So I wanted to save that space open for someone who wasn't as lucky. I mean, there's just a lot of different therapies that people don't even realize. I mean, she doesn't have any sight problems. She doesn't have any hearing problems that we're aware of. So, like, she doesn't have any of those therapies. But there's, I know there's so many therapies out there for children with disabilities. And they're just, I mean, right now, since the public numbers are low, they're getting, you know, what they need, to my knowledge, but who knows when they take it away.
Wow.
And unfortunately, it's up to them. So it's so crazy. And nothing is based on science.
Well, that's New York State. You know, welcome to New York State, where nothing makes any sense anymore. In an increasingly nonsensical country, this is like one of the leading states for nonsense. We are talking with Mrs. X on News Radio 930 WBEN. I may have hinted at this before, but just a direct question to you about the whole regression issue and what your therapists have said since reinitiating contact with your severely disabled daughter. Have they given you any reason to hope that the one plus years of really little to no therapy can be made up?
I'm glad she's very resilient. We're seeing a lot of improvements. I don't know how much further she would have been had her therapy continued. But, I mean, she's now, you know, walking again. She's babbling a lot. She's trying to talk. She doesn't really talk. I mean, even you know, like when she was first born, she was missing a chunk of her brain. And we weren't really sure what the outcome was going to be. You know, they said, you know, when she grows up, she could be anywhere from having just a minor limp to not being able to eat by herself, not being able to walk, not being able to talk, being nonverbal. And I mean, she's trying so hard to talk, you know. So I mean, I don't know where she would be if she had the therapy, but she's honestly, she's so smart, and she just she has it. Like, she just has this spark that just lights everybody up, and I know everybody just wants to help her and do what's best for her. She just has a smile that'll light up a room, and thank God she's so determined, because they think that's what's really gotten her through, because she's a determined little girl for sure.
All right, Mrs. X, I want to thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad that your situation has progressed, and I hope the situation with other children with severe disabilities also progresses, and that you get some rectification, not regular, that everything gets caught up with, is what I'm trying to say.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, Mrs. X, thank you very, very much. There is Mrs. X. And again, you know, her daughter is back to receiving the therapy that she needs. But many of you have kids who are severely disabled, and you have not received a satisfactory response from the county. And it seems like what you almost have to do is either threaten a lawsuit or have an attorney threaten a lawsuit for you. My experience in life is that attorneys shake a lot more earth than you or I or mere mortals do, because they have a language of their own which the rest of us are simply not privy to understanding. Now, it is 2:43 at News Radio 930 WBEN. And Mrs. X, we thank her for her time, and she is no longer with us. She's off and doing errands around town, because she's a very, very busy individual, as you might imagine. Now, we are 15 minutes away from the beginning of our coverage of Nick Wallenda and his walk 75 feet above the ground at Duville. And Pasquale, do we have, can we do a scene setter?
They are just kind of getting all settled in right now. I will check in with them shortly.
Oh, they're getting settled in? That's no fun. They should already be set. They should be having beers now.
Actually, Mike Baggerman is jumping at the opportunity to go on, so we will get with Mike Baggerman now.
Okay, well, let's get a little scene setter here from one of our team of reporters covering the Nick Wallenda walk. Mike Baggerman, put us in the picture, those of us who aren't there. And, of course, if we're not there, everybody can watch what's happening at WBEN.com. What do you have for us?
Well, Tom, first I want to just make something perfectly clear. Yes, I am about three or four beers, and I'm starting to lose a little bit of track. So just to give a little perspective on that. No, I'm just kidding.
No, dude, I would respect you so much more.
We're a professional bunch here at WBEN. Well, listen, let's set the scene for you here. We're out here at the Duville College's new Health Professions Hub. It's this hub that's been in the works for the last about 3 years or so, and they're obviously getting the huge publicity going on with this Nick Wallenda son. Of course, you know Nick Wallenda. He did the walk over Niagara Falls nearly 9 years ago to this day. Mm. To describe what the atmosphere is like, it's like a little carnival out here. There's, I'd say, several hundred people who have already come in through a security checkpoint area. And there's some games that they can play. There's some rides behind me that some people are already on. Some food vendors out here as well, as we are, like you had mentioned, about 15 or so minutes away from the opening ceremony that will be leading off the coverage, if you will, of this Nick Wallenda walk. They're going to be highlighting the Duville Hub. They're going to be playing a video. And then at 3:30 this afternoon, that's when Nick Wallenda is going to be doing his walk. It's 320 feet from the Montante Library across West Avenue and over to the new building. 320 feet wide. It's five stories high. And he's walking on a wire that's just 5/8 of an inch thick, which, as you can imagine, is pretty difficult.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it 3 feet up, to be honest with you. But Nick Wallenda is 42 years old now. He was in his 30s, obviously, when he walked over Niagara Falls. I remember the tension that was very thick in the air that night. I remember seeing Nick Wallenda talking with, I presume, his family or his management backstage, if you will, before the actual walk. And it obviously was a success, at a worldwide television audience in the millions. And just out of curiosity, and I'm sure we're going to get into this more when we bring you back on after 3, but why Duville College?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? And you know, DeYouville College is not one of the first places you think of that he'd want to come to. Mind you, Nick Wallenda, he's done Niagara Falls, he's done the Chicago River, Times Square, the Messiah Volcano in Nicaragua. He had to wear a gas mask for that one. But DeYouville College was on his radar, not just for the college itself, but just because of his general appreciation for Western New York as a whole. Wallenda, 9 years ago, nearly to the days when he did the Niagara Falls walk, that's the one that put him on the map. He wanted to get, this is a chance for him to get back into the Western New York community. But not only does it benefit the DeYouville's promotion of this new hub, Wallenda's also got a book that he's in the works of promoting. The book is called Facing Fear. It came out last September. Generate some publicity for that as he gets ready to kind of get back out onto the scene as well. That's a lot of the motivation for him wanting to come out here today. But, of course, his ties for Western New York, supersedes all that.
All right. Well, thank you for the setup, if you will, for Nick Wallenda, Mike Baggerman. I know you and Brendan Keeney are going to keep a keen eye on everything and offer in-person and live play-by-play. So we will definitely look forward to that.
All right. Talk to you soon, Tom.
Oh, one more question. Have you seen any of the practice for the air show?
I did. Actually, coming from our offices in Amherst, I took the 190 right at that 290 split. I saw the Blue Angels go through about two or three times. Man, that's going to be a fun one to see this weekend.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Mike Baggerman. We'll talk with Mike at 3 o'clock along with Brendan Keeney from DeYouville College right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. I don't know how we're going to squeeze everything in the 3 o'clock hour with traffic and all that kind of stuff, but I don't know. We'll just play it by ear like we usually do here on WBEN. This is not nearly as planned as you might think. This book that Nick Wallenda wrote, and we might talk a little bit more about this after the 3 o'clock hour when the walk is completed or whenever. Facing Fear is the title of the book, Facing Fear. And I was wondering on the way in, and we have a lot of people who, for whatever reason, listen to this show. And everybody out there, you have a fear. Now, some fears are very, very rational fears. You know, if you are listening to us in a state that is the typical home of the brown recluse spider, like maybe Arizona, New Mexico, you have a rational fear of the brown recluse spider. Now, the experts will say, there aren't any brown recluse spiders around here. And I say, baloney. I've talked to too many people who were bitten by brown recluses and have been so diagnosed by physicians in hospitals. I'm sure they travel up here and they probably don't live very long. I'm sure they're hitchhikers on trucks and stuff. But I'm sorry. You got a logical fear of black widow spiders because their venom can really do a number on you. Having a fear of a rattlesnake, that's a rational thing. And every time I hear about, or I consider rattlesnakes, I think of this poor guy down in Pennsylvania. This is about, I don't know, and I don't even know why I remember this, like 15 years ago, and he was in an area with very little cell phone service, and they were doing a bonfire, and this guy moved some wood to throw it into the bonfire. He did not know that a rattlesnake was lurking, and he got bit by the rattlesnake, and they couldn't get help for the guy. He was basically off the grid, and he died of a rattlesnake bite. And had he been able to get proper transport, you know, a helicopter, whatever, they could have saved his life at a hospital. They do keep, you know, anti-rattlesnake venom stuff on hand at hospitals. But, you know, these are rational fears. I mean, I got to tell you, I think what I find almost comical is many of you have a fear of spiders in Western New York, and there may be the very rare exceptional hitchhiker who comes into our area, but 99.99999% of the spiders you see around here, I don't care how big, ugly, and menacing they look, They are no threat to you whatsoever. They might bite you, and it might swell up a little bit, but unless you're highly allergic, it's not going to kill you. And it amazes me, though, the number of people who are big, strong, strapping men who all you have to do is say, hey, there's a wolf spider on your wall, and they flip their they go a little bit nuts, you know. And I'll go one step further. See, I used to be somebody who was scared of spiders. True story. Before I went to sleep at night, when I was like a teenager and a kid, I literally would scour the room, ceiling, wall, corners. Are there any spiders that are going to eat me as I sleep? And then if there was, Mom would have to come and take care of business with the spider. But then I started reading about spiders and educating myself about spiders. And I think spiders are some of the coolest things ever. The way they make webs, the web builders, the hunter spiders. And those, have you seen those little black and white ones? Of course you have. Little black and white ones, and they jump. You ever seen that? They're very small. They're maybe slightly bigger than the head of a pin. And they're called zebra jumpers. They're fascinating little creatures. They really are. And wolf spiders, despite the fearsome name, they're not a wolf. They're a spider. They're not looking to eat you. And spiders are some of the best friends you can have in your garden. So I don't know what your phobia happens to be. Maybe it's spiders. Maybe it's flying. A lot of people are scared to fly. Interesting, we've got the air show coming up. But there are ways, I think, to overcome any fear that you have. And I have found the best way to overcome any fear I've had is by learning about something, by educating myself about it, like elevators. Elevators! Toronto City Hall has this beautiful observation deck. It's like a million floors up. And for whatever reason, as a kid, my mom and I went up there to get a look at Toronto. And I remember being in the elevator and being scared. I was scared of being up that high in this thing. Thought, well, what if it falls? We're going to die. And then I read about elevators, and they don't faze me anymore. And I think whatever you are scared of irrationally, because there are rational fears and there are irrational fears, whatever you are scared of, I would encourage you to educate yourself about your fear, because it takes the mystery out of it and replaces it with facts upon which you can have more rational judgment. And it is a true statement that if there is a spider in my house, I will let it outside. As long as the weather's nice, I will let it outside. If there is a spider in the house in the middle of winter, I put it in the basement. Now, I don't know what there is to eat for spiders in my basement. Must be something, because I see a few of them. But anyway, education. So coming up on WBEN, we'll have full coverage of a man walking on a wire 75 feet above the ground. Many of you are scared of heights. Not Nick Walenda.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.